Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yevamos Peches. We are holding five lines from the top of the Yomid. So how do we know that an Eid Echad, a single witness, can actually allow an Isha to remarry? The Mishnah spoke about an Isha whose husband went out of town and an Eid Echad comes and says, look, I know for a fact this fellow passed away, she can go remarry. How do we know that an Eid Echad has the ability to allow an Isha to remarry? Says the Gemara, Elo Svarahu, it's just a Svarahi. Midi Dahava, Achaticha, just like you have one piece, a piece of blubber. You're unsure of whether it's chaylev, forbidden fats, or shuman, permitted fats. Suffix shel chaylev, which makes it usur. Or perhaps it's mutter, suffix shel shuman. So you're not sure what this thing is. V'asa eid echad, and one aid comes along and tells you what it is. V'amar, he says, bari li, I can tell you for a fact, I am sure and confident, de shuman hu, this item is mutter. The Mehem, and he's to be believed. You can trust him. How do I know that? Says Rashi, two lines from the top. V'amar barili de shumun hu de Mehemen. We have no makar, we have no pasuk. Says Rashi, v'havade pshitalon. It's pretty clear. There's some chinon lay, we can trust him. Kol zman shaloi nechshad. As long as, you know, there's no reason to suspect that he's speaking untruthfully, dilav hachi, because if you cannot believe when a person tells you this thing is kosher, ein lecha adam oichel mishil chaveri, you'll never have somebody going into his friend's home to have a meal. It wouldn't work. Vein lecha adam soy mechal bnei beis, nor can a person rely on his family. And the fact is, we do it all the time. That in itself serves as a proof that an Eid Echad can be trusted when he says something is kosher. And actually, I saw on the side that the Tashbetz quotes a Yerushalmi in Kilayim that says the same thing. So bottom line is, an Eid Echad can be trusted. Likewise, in our Mishnah, a single witness is sufficient to allow an Isha to remarry. Asks the Gemara, by the way, Tosfos brings another makar. He says, we can learn from the Nida. The Gemara Ksuva says that an Isha will count her 7 days. If a Sofra Lola Atzma, you trust her. So she has that Ne'emanus. Apparently, Eid Echad is to be believed in terms of Isurim. Asks the Gemara, how do you compare this to our Mishnah? Mi dummy. Is this comparable? Sure, you have a piece of fat. You have no is. It wasn't established as an iser. You're not sure what it is. Eid Echad says, look, I know it's kosher. He's believed. But in our Mishnah, Acha, over here, is chazek isura deshetish. It's been established that she's a married woman. You have to undo that status. That's way different. In terms of testifying regarding halachas of arayis, you need two eidim for that. It's learned from Gzeirus Shava. So, in our Mishnah, it's ischazak isur, it's an ishes ish. You have to change your status. One eid is not sufficient. Halo damya. If anything, our Mishnah is to be compared to a different case where an Eid Echad is not going to be believed. Elo l'chaticha v'devadai chaylev. Suppose you have a piece of fat which you know to be chaylev. Vadai, 100%. I took it out of the animal. V'os Eid Echad v'amar. And an Eid Echad comes along and he says, bari li de shuman hava. You know, I'll tell you something. This thing is shuman. It's not chaylev. D'loy mehem. And you can't trust him. You can't believe him. Why? Because you know it's chaylev here as well. You know she's an ishes ish. He can't just change the status. It's a question mark. It's an unknown. Fine. Eid Echad is believed. A suffix chaylev, suffix shuman. you go ahead to, and you have your meal by your friends, you don't know what, he'll tell you, you can believe him. But if you know for a fact that it's Asr, this Isha is a married woman, how can the Eid Echad come and change that? Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? One second. You went a little too far. You went to the other extreme. Me, dummy, how could you compare it to that case? That's a little bit too far out. Hassam, in that case, when you know that it's Chelev, a million Eidim won't change that perception. Hassam, afilu also be, may even 100 Eidim come and say that it's Kasher. Loi mehemni. You can't believe them, because you know for a fact otherwise. But in our case, with the Ishas Ish, true. It was Ischazak Isura. Her Issa has been established, but you know, an Isha is not going to be an Ishas Ish forever. Hacha, over here, Kivan Dechi Asubeitre. Suppose two Eidim come along and say her husband passed away. What happens then? Mamni, of course they're going to be believed. Once an Ishas Ish isn't always an Ishas Ish. It's not like you know concretely otherwise. It's not like you know she's Asr. She was Asr. So if two Eidim come and say her status changed, they're believed, right? So Chad Nami Lahemne. So perhaps even one Eid can be believed in this case. So your example was, I know it's Chelev and the Eid will come tell me otherwise. Well, of course. Nobody can change your perception, your first-hand perception. You are burly. You're confident in that. You can't trust somebody that's going to change that perception. You have first-hand personal knowledge that can't be undone. But in the case of the Ishas Ish, sure. She had been an Ishas Ish. But that can perhaps change along the road. And if two Eidim come and do that, they're believed. So perhaps one Eid can do the same. Me did Ahava Atevel Hegdash Rekoinamas. I'll even give you three examples where the Gemara is assuming an Eid Echad is believed. That's something which was at one point Asur is no longer. Tevel, he says, look, this is, it was Tevel, but Truma has been separated. You can go eat it. Hegdish, it was once Hegdish, but no longer. Kainam, the fellow undertook a vow, a Kainam, it was Asur, now it's Mutter. So perhaps in the Mishnah as well. Sure, she was once Asur, but going forward, she's no longer Asur. Asks the Gemara, Haitevel Echidami. Let's break down these examples. Let's take them apart. The Tevel that you're speaking about, what is the case? E Kasava. Ididei, is it his personal Tevel that he's testifying about? Well, of course he's believed. Bishum Dabiyadal is Sakne, because it's in his ability to fix it, to correct it. And Allah is then, when something is Biyadai, in his hands, so to speak, within his capacity to do it, and of course he's believed, because why would he lie? That's one of the ways to explain this halacha. So if the Eid Echad owns a piece of Tevel and he comes and says, look, it's no longer a Tevel, of course you believe him. But in the case of the Isha, it's not in his hand, it's not within his ability to be Mater the Isha. Elo the Achra. So we're speaking that the Eid is testifying about Tevel that belongs to somebody else. Michael Sover, now, which shita are we following? Ika Sover, are we going with the shita that says, Turim Mishaloy Al Shul Chaveri? When Reuven takes off Truma on account of Shimon's Tevel, he addresses Shimon's Tevel, Einoi Tzorach Das Balam, he doesn't have to have Shimon's permission. If we're following that point of view, then, once again, the Eid Echad is going to be believed because Mishum Debiyadal is Sakin, because he can just be Masakin the other person's Tevel. So it's in his hands. Within his ability to change that status, of course he's believed. And once again, it's incomparable to our Mishnah, where he doesn't have that ability. Because, however, if we're following the Shita that says, Sorech Da'as Balim, that you can't just address the other person's Tevel. It's his mitzvah. You have to get his permission. V'omar, now this aid is coming and saying, Ano Yadano Be De Mesakinu, I can tell you for a fact that Tevel is no longer Aser. He's testifying. Okay, well, I understand that would be a good precedent, a good example of an Eid Echad having Ne'amonis to be Matir an Yisur. But is that so? Is that even true? Higufa Minolan, How do you even know that halacha is true? You have no raya. Next case was Hegdish, right? Hegdish Nami. Same concept. Ikdish as Damim. What type of Hegdish are we speaking? Monetarily Hegdish? Well, then again, the Eid Echad is, of course, going to be believed Mishum Debi Yadulif Daisoy because it's in his hands to redeem that item. So since he has the ability to personally make it Mutar, he can testify about its permissibility. Ikdush Saguf, if it's on the higher level of Hegdish, it's inherently Kaddish, meant for the Mizbeach. So then, Idi Dei, if it's his personal carbon that he's speaking about, and saying that it's no longer a carbon, Mishum to be other, Chuliyale, because it's within his ability to remove that Kedusha. He can revoke, he can annul the Hegdish, like a nether. You can do Hataras Nedarim. So it's Biyadai. That's why he's Neman. Elodach. Oh, we're speaking about somebody else's Hegdish. V'omar, and he's testifying and saying, Yodanabe, I know about this thing. The Itchel Murray Alay, that the owner of that Hegdish had removed the Hegdish. So that's a raya. That a Eid Echor is Neman when it comes to Isser. Isser that's not necessarily in his hands. Well, you're right. If it was true, he go for Minola. How do you know that this halacha is correct? Next example of yours was Koinamis. Koinamis Nami, there as well have the same kasha. Ikosover, if we're following the shita that says Yesh Mi'ilo B'Koinamis, that when a fellow declares Koinam, this thing on me, it's another form of making Hegdish, and if one benefits from it, he has committed Mi'ilo. U'Kedushas Domim Nachsaluhu, and then this item becomes Kaddish, Kedushas Domim to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is really just another form of Hegdish, and that's why the aid is believed Bishum de Biyadilif Doise, because once again the aid can just redeem this item and extract it from Hegdish and make it mutter, so it's Biyadai, and of course he has Ne'amonus. Vika Sabar, if we're following the Shita that Ein Mi'ilah B'Koinamos. Koinamos and Hegdish are unrelated, there is no Mi'ilah, it doesn't actually become Hegdish. Rather, it's just Asur. I cannot partake in this, it's a commitment, it's a nether. V'Isur Ba'alma. It's just a plain Isser, the Rachiv Luha Katfei, which rides on the person's shoulders, or on the item's shoulders. Whatever it is, there's an Isser, it's not Hegdish. And this fellow is saying, it's Mutter. Well, whose is it? Idi Dei? Is it his personal item? Of course he's believed Mishum Yadele Chuliyale, because once again he has the ability to remove the nether. So why would he lie? If he's just trying to make it Mutter, let him take off the nether. Elodi Ach. Oh, apparently it belongs to somebody else. Vomar, he's declaring, I know you're done. I know for a fact the Itchel Moria later, the owner, had revoked the nether. So we see that Eid Echad is Neman be Isurin. Even if it's something that was an established Isur, Ischazak Isur. Higufa Minolan. How do you know this fact is true? So back to the Kasha. You have an Ishas Ish. Husband left town. One aide comes and says, I know that he passed away. Mishnah says, she's allowed to go remarry. Why? One aide? Omar Bzeira, I'll tell you the reason. Metoich. Choymer Sheikh Marta Oleh, Besoifa. Because of the severe consequences that she experiences. Ultimately, if it turns out that this information was mistaken, right? As we go into the Mishnah, she goes and remarries. It turns out that they were severely mistaken. Husband comes and shows up. He's alive and well. All kinds of consequences take hold. She leaves both husbands. She loses all the ksubos, etc., etc. Because of that chumrah that we apply, this will encourage the isha to investigate the matter thoroughly. And therefore, we're allowing her. We allow ourselves the privilege of granting her the allowance to remarry based on the edus of a single witness. Hikata aleo b'tchila, that's why we apply ikula initially. Asks the Gemara, okay, loy lichmer v'loy leikil. Because of the chumra, later on we allow ourselves the ikula initially. Well, skip the chumra and skip the kula. So why would you make this exception? Answers the Gemara, yeah, there's good reason for exception. Look, this woman is abandoned. No, husband, Mishum Iguna. Akila Barabana, in order to avoid Iguna. Igun literally means tie down. Her husband left town. Whereabouts unknown. So that she's not tied down for the rest of her life. We allow for some lenience here. For some exception. And we even allow an eid echad to grant her permission for remarriage. Again, based on the concept that she's going to be, in the Lashon of the Gemara later, daiko mincibah. She's going to pay close attention to facts. Investigate the matter thoroughly. And that's the reason for the heter. Tosfos here says, what do you mean now? You're going to be matur and isur min ha-Torah, and Eidechot is not to be believed min ha-Torah for such types of things, and how can you do that? So he said the Chacham had that ability when there is some grounds and basis for this type of approach. In the words of Tosfos, he says, Shiyesh ktsas tam v'smach. In that case, it's not called Oikar Dove min ha-Torah. The Ron says, look, he goes a step further, he says, you know what, min ha-Torah it's mutter. He calls it Anan Sahadi. We are witnesses. It's something so clear and obvious. It's like, look outside, it's as clear as day. Do you need two Adam for that? You see it's day. When Nisha gets up and remarries based on the information from the Eid Echad and her own investigation, she wouldn't do it if it wasn't pretty substantiated, close to 100%. Because she knows what she's in for. Lots of trouble if this turns out to be unsubstantiated. So it's like two Adam. It's just like a known fact that this is true. And he says, Minat Torah, this is the Ran, the Mukhe Yosef. He says, Minat Torah, she can remarry based on the Eidos of a single Eidechot. So that's the Maskan of the Gemara. Why do we believe in Eidechot? Because of the Chumrah coming later on, we assume that she investigated the matter thoroughly and she's Mutta to remarry. Continues the Gemara. Teitzei means zeh mezeh v'chu. So in the Mishnah we learn that an Isha's husband went out of town. One aide surfaces with that information. Husband passed away. She goes, remarries. Husband shows up. What does the Mishnah say? Teitzei mezeh. She has to leave the second husband. Let's call him Shimon. U mezeh as well as the first husband, Reuven. Amar Rav lo yishanu. This only applies ella shenises beid echad. If it was that single witness who allowed her to remarry. So now when the husband shows up, she's in trouble. But suppose she was allowed to remarry based on the aidas of two witnesses. In this case, even if husband shows up, she does not have to leave the second husband. How can that be? They laughed on this halacha. What do you mean? Oh, so Gavra Vikoi. Husband's right here, alive and well. And you can suggest that he loses his wife, that she can stay with the second husband? Apparently was speaking Leyadinali. We don't recognize him. He comes with an overgrown beard, and nobody recognizes him. And that's why she's safe with the second husband. Well, either Leyadinali, if we don't know who this fellow is, then Be'ed Echad, even if the case was that she was allowed to remarry based on the aidus of a single witness, Amai Seitzei, why would she have to leave Shimon, her new husband, upon this fellow, this stranger, this imposter's arrival? Leitzricha apparently was speaking that he came with some cronies, the Asu Beitrei. Two fellows came along with him, Va'amri, and they claim, oh, Anan, Avinon Be'adei, we were traveling with him, Michinofak, from the moment that he left this town, Va'adasht, until now, Va'atun, it's you who are having issues, identity issues, Va'atun, who the Loyadisula, you don't recognize him, but we know for sure, this fellow is Reuven, Dichsiv. We find this in the Torah, with Yosef and the Shvatim, right? He recognized them, because he left them when they were already, older and adults, and they didn't recognize him in his appearance, which looked very different. Vayakir Yosef Esechav, he recognized his brothers. Ve'em lo yikiru, they didn't recognize him. Bamar v'chizda, you know why? Melamed, it's because sheyotza b'lo yichamisim azok, and he left them without a fully grown beard. Uba b'chasim azok, and now he confronted them with a full beard. So there is such a concept of not recognizing a person after many years. And that's why Rav says, look, we're not really sure this is the husband. And apparently we're speaking that the wife as well is denying that this is the husband. So therefore, if the heter happened through one aid who testified about this fellow's passing, she remarries, and then this fellow, this, let's call him the unknown, comes back with two edim who testified that he is indeed Reuven. So it's two edim against that single aid who provided the heter, two against one, she's usher. But if the heter to remarry came about through two edim who said he passed away, and now he shows up with another two edim, it's two against two, and she stays put. Asks the Gemara, soif, soif, what do you mean? Ultimately, trey ninu, it's two against two. It's a suffix iser. The original pair of edim are speaking about his death, but the newcomer pair of edim are speaking about him being alive. Anybody that marries this isha brings a carbon, it's a suffix kares. How can you just allow her to stay married to somebody else? Omer Rav Sheshes, we're speaking about a very specific case. She married whom? One of the edim of that original pair, who are testifying unequivocally, they know with certainty that this fellow passed away. This can't be him. That fellow, the true husband, passed away. And since they know with certainty, with confidence, that her husband is no longer here, they can marry her. By the way, the Tesis Hashanah asks, haven't we learned way back on the Daf Memvav, I think it was, that in this case, an eid is not allowed to marry the isha because we're concerned that perhaps it's all been set up. So he says that but there's a case where the eid can marry the isha that he was matur. Suppose he was already married at that time. He was presently married. So we're not choshish that it's all it's all just a setup. So eventually, if his wife dies or whatever, he can go marry this isha. That's what we're speaking about. That she married the eid under permissible circumstances. Good, that takes care of the aid. How can he marry her? Because he knows that the husband passed away. But he, goofa, what about the isha herself? She hadn't really verified the facts. He, goofa, b'asham tali kaima. She's guilty of an asham tali if she goes and marries the aid. Because we have two aidim against two aidim. It's a suffix iser. But Mara's burily speaking that she knows with certainty, with confidence, I investigated the matter, I know. This is not my husband, I know my husband passed away. So that was the chiddush of Rav. That's all he was telling us. If it's two against two, it's a suffix, and if she knows with certainty, and she's marrying the aid, who knows with certainty as well, it's mutter. Yochi, if that's the case, then it's a simple, easy halacha, mildly memer, why even discuss it? Afilu Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, even Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, who's mentioned in the following brisa, even he who adopts a stringent view, like Amar, He is only concerned Eloke Shabo Edim Va'achagach Nises. The second pair of Edim come along and then she decides to get married. That's a problem. Aval Nises Va'achagach Bo Edim. But if the second pair, if she marries based on the testimony of the first pair, and then only then Va'achagach Bo Edim, then the second pair came along, like Omar, even according to Rabbi Nachim, she can stay married. So it's an obvious, simple halacha mentioned in the Brisa. Why would Rav have to discuss this? The Sani, where do we find this discussion? Shnaim Omer Meis. Two Edim say, husband passed away. Shnaim Omer Lo Meis. Another pair say, no, he didn't pass away. So we have that clash between two pairs of Edim, which makes it a suffix. Or another form of this scenario would be Shnaim Omer Nizgarsha. Two Edim speak about the Isha having gotten a divorce. And two edim who contradict that version. She can't remarry. It's a suffix d'orais. But v'im nisis, if she proceeds and marries a stranger, she does not have to leave him. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, it depends. It depends when. Teitzi, she has to leave. Amar of Nachman B'Yosi, Eimas ani Omer Teitzi, when do I say she has to leave him? Bizman shebo edim, v'ach kach nisis. It's the second pair of edim who presented a contradictory view of that episode. And they're coming to make her answer. They came and then she decides to go marry despite the new pair of edim. Then I say she has to leave the husband. Aval nisis. But suppose she married based on the edim of the first edim, who were matir her. Then the second pair came along. Even I agree that she can stay with that fellow. So why would Rav have to even mention this halacha, which is agreed upon by all? Answers the Gemara two tirutzim. Number one, kika amar Rav nami. You know what Rav was speaking about? Bizman shebo edim v'akach nisis. The second pair came along, and then she decided to get married despite their edus. So this is in line with the Tanakama. And lafuki, as opposed to the other shita, that was his point. We pass like the Tanakama, v'kedami. This is another version, just the opposite. Rav was telling us that she can stay married to the second husband only tama denisis v'achakach bo edim, because she married before the edim came along. Aval bo edim, the second pair who make her usher came along first v'achach nisis, and then she marries teitze, she'll have to leave her husband because she went and she defied the halacha keman in accordance with whom? Krav amachem Rabbi Yosi, Krav amachem. So bottom line is, Rav in effect is just paskening like either that shita or this shita, depending on how you learn. What's the case? Husband disappeared. Two Edom came along and said he died. Another pair of Edom say, what do you mean? Here he is, right here. You don't recognize him, but we do. Rav says, if she's married to the other fellow, to Shimon, she can stay married. We're speaking that she knows with certainty that she's right. She's married the aide who knows with certainty. Now these are the facts. She can stay married. Either we're speaking that she married before the Edom came, or the Edom came and then she married. Still, it's okay. Masiv Rava asks Rava, I have a kasha from a brice, which says, Menayin Shem Leirotza, we're speaking about a kohen. He's unwilling to conform to the halachas of kahuna. He's failing to separate from tumah, from women with whom he's not allowed to interact. How do you know that if he's not willing to conform, dafnoi, as she says, hakehu v'akache b'alkarche, you can strap him and hit him, force him to conform. Tamad loyma, the pasuk says, v'kidashtoi, b'alkarche. Bezin has the ability, has the authority, the obligation to maintain the kedusha of the kehana. Now, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you the obvious halacha that kohen has to marry an isha who's suitable to the kahuna, and otherwise you force her out. That wouldn't need a pasuk. Explains Rashi, apparently he was speaking about something which is sort of, questionable. And even there, says the pasuk, you have to keep him away. So what's an example of a questionable situation? Our situation. We have a conflict between two accounts of two edim, of two pairs of edim. Exactly our case. Hey chidami, what are we speaking about? Ilema deloy nisis le'echad mi'edea. So again, we're speaking about an isha. Rachel was married to Reuven. He skipped town. A pair of edim came and said he died. Another pair of edim says, what do you mean? This is him. Here he is. Here's your husband. And she denies it flat out. This is not the fellow I knew. And she goes and she marries a kohen. Says the pasuk, "Bekidashtoi," you have to force him to divorce this isha. What are we speaking about? Who did she marry? Meaning, who was this kohen? Was he one of the players on the scene? Was he perhaps one of the edim of that first pair? We're speaking that she did not marry one of the edim. Right, that was the case. That's the only way that it works. If she marries one of the edim, who knows with confidence that this fellow is not the husband? We're not speaking about that. She married a stranger. She married Shimon, a stranger. And likewise, suppose she's not really confident about these facts. In which case, of course, she has no right to go marry. The only way she can marry is if she's marrying one of the Edom, who knows the facts, and she personally knows the facts as well. Suppose any of these factors are not present. Of course it's usur. Sricha lemeimar de dafnu, is there any need to say that you can force the kohen to get rid of her? She's a zayna. She's presumed to be an eishes ish, or at least a suffolk eishes ish. Ela lav, apparently was speaking to nisus l'achad me'edea. This kohen who she's marrying happens to be one of the Edom who testified on her behalf that her husband passed away. V'ka'amr barili, and the Isha as well claims that she knows for a fact husband was gone. Husband is mace. And what does the Brisa say? U'ktani dafnai. You hit the kohen until he gets rid of her. Alma mafki na nomine. Clearly we take her out of his jurisdiction. We don't let her stay married to him. This is a stira to Rav who says, Loi teitze. And says the Gemara, here it's different. Isur kuhuna shani. We're speaking about a kohen and he has to maintain higher standards, and even this type of case is not suitable for the kohen. Yivoy is another teretz. Is my dafnoi, when the Brisa said you hit him, you compel him, dafnoi be'edim. Doesn't mean physically, doesn't mean that we're going to force her out. It means like this. After the initial peer of Edom arrived to tell us that the husband passed away, Bezdin quickly embarks on a real intense search to go find other Edom, to go investigate the matter fully and thoroughly to ensure that, in fact, the husband passed away, rather than let the Kayan marry this Isha, who might turn out to be an Eishes Ish. So Dafne be'edim, meaning that Beznarim are meant to go find Edom, or at least make sure that there are no Edom who will contradict the first pair of Edom who are Mata the Isha. As Rashi says, Bezdin Muzharim, the Torah is telling Bezdin Litroyach Achar Edom, go look for Edom, Lahakish L'Roshayim, go see if there are any Edom who could contradict the account presented by the first Edom who are being Mata the Isha. This is in order to spare the Kayin of many possible wrongdoing. Yisema, another terrorist to the Kasha would be, what's wrong with the Kayin marrying the Isha? After we have two pairs of Edom, which are going to Rav, give her the green light to marry under certain circumstances when she knows and he knows. So what's the problem? Kishabo Edom v'achach nisus. We're speaking that the second pair arrived, and then, after the first pair was contradicted by the second pair, which created a clash and a suffix, she went ahead and married Rav Nachman Rabbi Yosi. Oh! We're speaking about that type of case. And we're following Rav Nachman Rabbi Yosi, who says that if the Edom come and then she decides to remarry, that's problematic. And perhaps even Rav would agree that this would be usur, as we explained, at least according to one version. Rav would agree that if the Edom came and then she married, then we have a problem. So bottom line is, according to this version of the Gemara, when Rav says that if the two Edom were the ones who allowed her to marry, and she remarried, and husband arrives, she is safe. She stays married with Shimon. How could that be? So we're speaking that we don't recognize him, except that he's coming with two Edom who are there to testify on his behalf, that this is the same fellow, this is the original husband. So it's basically two against two. And she knows with certainty he is not the husband. And she goes and marries one of the Edom of the first pair, who as well are confident that this is not the fellow. She can stay married to him. According to one version, even if the second pair arrived prior to marriage, according to one version, the other version, only if they arrived after she remarried. Rav Ashi Omar, he says like this. Let me explain to you what Rav meant. Rav Ashi Omar, Mailei Seitzi, the Kama Rav. No, he didn't mean what you thought he meant. Rav says that if she got a heta to remarry by way of two edim instead of one, it was two, then lo yiseitze, she does not leave her husband. My lo yiseitze, to come a Rav. You know what Rav meant when he said lo yiseitze? Lo yiseitze me etera harishin. He meant that she can go back to her first husband. Why? Because in contrast to the Isha, who remarried based on the edus of one aid, which was based on the svara of the chumra coming later, and therefore we allow ourselves to rely on the edus and her investigative efforts. So in that case, if it turns out that they were mistaken, she's in hot water, she's in trouble. But if she became mutter because of two edim, they allowed her to remarry, that's an entirely different halacha. As we had in the Mishnah, that doesn't need the heter of bezin. I have two edim, or testifying on my behalf, or testifying about my husband's death. She can go remarry. And even if it turns out that they are mistaken, here, her husband comes marching in. She's an anusa. She's totally faultless. And therefore, she can go back to her original husband. That's all Rav meant. Straightforward, simple halach. Asks the Gemara. Ha'amr Rav Chada Zimna. Rav already told us this halacha. In fact, it was actually mentioned in the Mishnah. The Sanan Mishnah says, Nisa Shlibrishos. She left. She remarried without the express permission of Bezin. Basically, it means that there were two Edom who testified about her husband's death, in which case she doesn't need the heter of Bezin. And she goes and remarries. Her husband marches in. Mutar is lachsar, like she can go back to her husband because she was an oynes, totally faultless. V'amar avhunam Rav, and Rav says, Hochi ilchas, that's how he paskin. So why does Rav have to repeat that halacha again? You're right, he only said it once, but the Talmidim extracted one from the other. Chada mechlola de chaverta itmar. In fact, Rav only said this halacha once, perhaps he said it in reference to the Mishnah, but then the Bnei Yeshiva sort of extrapolated from that, and they made a whole story out of it. But it's really based on the same halacha, that one statement from Rav. So again, we have Rav and two versions of Rav. When Rav says, if the heter to remarry came about through two edim, lo yiseitze, what does lo yiseitze mean? According to the first version of the Gemara, she remarried by way of two edim, and then another pair showed up to contradict the earlier edim. They came along with the husband. Here we are. Since she's confident, and the aid is confident, she can stay with him. According to version number two, no, we're not speaking about staying married to husband number two. We're speaking about going back to husband number one. She's an oinus. She's totally faultless. There was no oinus committed. She's not held accountable, taken to task for what happened. There were two aid that allowed me to remarry, so I can go back to husband number one. Amar Shmuel. He comes Shmuel with another halach. Loi Shon. Well, the Mishnah says that she's in trouble when her husband returns. That's only Ela Shaloi Makhishasi. If she doesn't oppose him, if she doesn't deny that this is her husband, then she's in trouble. We assume that this is the husband, and all the halachis, all the consequences mentioned in the Mishnah applicable. But let's say she denies. She says, this is not my husband. Lo yiseitze, she need not leave that second husband. End quote. So now the Gemara analyzes halacha of Shmuel. What exactly did he have in mind? What's the, you know, what are the circumstances? What's the case here? If she denies, then she's safe. Otherwise, she's in trouble. But my skin, what are we speaking about? So of course we're speaking firstly that there was only one aid who came along and spoke about her husband passing away, and she went and remarried based on that information. Okay, that's first of all. And now, something happened. Someone else came along and contradicted that. Who? How many? Edom were involved in that second wave of testimony. Elaim Beitrei. Two Edom came along and say, well, this is her husband. If so, how does her denial benefit her? Ki machashasalei mayhavi. Let her deny from today to tomorrow. You have two edim here. They're more powerful than her denial. So of course she's in trouble. Ella b'chad. Oh, apparently there was only one aid. That this is her husband. Now, what does Shmuel say? If she denies, she's safe. But otherwise, she's in trouble. Why? Why do we need her denial? Even without that contribution, so to speak, she's still safe. Time of the machshasa. She's safe because she contradicts him. Hashaska. But if she's silent and agreeable, then she's in trouble. Teitze. Until she doesn't know who he is. I'm not sure I can recognize him. Then she's in trouble. Why? You see, once we had an aide who testified on her behalf. And we accepted that testimony as fact. Right? We discussed this in Amud Aleph. The reason for this, the background for this, why, the sources. But the fact is we do accept his account as fact. So basically, we upgraded his status from the limited ability of one aid. We treat him like two aid. We accept it as fact. So now when another aid comes and contradicts him, it has no value. He's powerless. Compared to that initial aid who presented his account and it was accepted as fact, as though it assumes the kayach of two aid. So now the newcomer is like one against the original two. He has no value. Without the Isha's denial, without her contribution, the second aid is worthless. Va'amar Ula tells us, Kol makam she'amina Torah, aid echad. Whenever we find that the Torah believes one aid, such as by Eidos, to allow the Isha to remarry, Harei kan shnayim. Once we accept his testimony, we treat it like testimony offered by two aidim. It's fact. It's confirmed fact. Ve'ein dvarav shel echad. And now when another aid comes along and contradicts that fact, his words have no value. Ve'ein dvarav shel echad be'makim shnayim, in face of two, so to speak. It's really a virtual two, because initially we only had one aid, but that aid sort of evolves into two. He's valued as two. He's treated as two. And therefore, ein dvarav shel echad, the words of the newcomer, the single aid, be'makim shnayim, in face of the two original aidim, are nothing. Ein dvarav, it's nothing. So pretty much stuck. Shmuel says, look, she's in trouble unless she denies. Now, if two Adam came and positively identified this man as her husband, then her denial has no impact. If it's only one aid, then without her denial, she's still mutter. So either way, Shmuel's halacha is difficult to understand. Answers the Gemara. We're speaking that there was one aid initially that was matir her. And there are two individuals that are now coming and contradicting that. And we're speaking about two individuals who are not, halachically valid edim. An isha, a relative. We're speaking with psuli edis. Two edim that don't have the ability to really offer testimony throughout the Torah. But here, when it comes to edos isha, just as we believe one aid, we believe other types of edim as well, just as numbers don't matter. Unlike your typical edus that need two edim, here one is believed, and likewise, qualitatively, we downgrade our requirements. Even an isha, a karev, is to be believed, but you should know that when we speak about psuli edus, it's all about numbers. The power is in the numbers. Ukdram Nechemya, the Sandyar Nechemya Aimer, Kol Mokim Shamina Torah Eid Echad. Whenever the Torah believes one aid, whenever we make that exception, we accept the edus of even just one aid, such as by edus isha, we don't follow the normative approach and the normative criteria. Rather, we go according to how many there are here. Haleich achar roiv deis. We follow the numbers. Roiv deis is a reference to opinions, to people. Let's say you have conflicting accounts. You have a man, Ish Echad, saying one thing, and two women opposing him. We treat it, they win, they prevail. It's two against one. It's like Kishnei Anoshim be Ish Echad, as though you would have two men against one man. So even though there are women, but when it comes to these contexts, these types of testimonies, where we don't necessarily conform to the, you know, the regular standard, typical standards of what an eight is meant to be. Even one eight is believed, even an ish is believed, and then you follow the numbers. Two against one in any type of configuration, whether it's two men against one man, or even two women against one man, you follow the majority. So now, back to Shmuel. One eight was matir her. A man. One eight was matir her. And then, two women, or two relatives, came along and said, no. They offered conflicting accounts of what happened. No, this is her husband, right here. So really, they should win. Two against one. Says Shmuel, depends where she's holding, the Isha herself. If she's standing by the wayside, she's uninvolved, then yeah, she's Aser. Loi makhishasai, then she has to leave her husband, because it's two women against one man. But if she's involved and she denies, she says, this is not my husband, so she's taking the side of the original eight. So now it's two against two. That's how the Vilna going. The Agoy Sagro is Masber on the side. It's like two against two, and as we know, if it's two against two, and she marries, you know, one of the Edom, and she knows for sure that, like we said before, two against two, she's safe. So that explains Shmuel's halacha. If she's involved, then she's backing up the first eight, it's two against two. If she's uninvolved, then it's the first eight against two women, and they have the upper hand. The Eboy Sema. Here comes a slightly different version of this concept. You see, up until now, we said like this. If the initial aid, who was mater, was a man, even if he was a man, he can then be contradicted by women who offer a conflicting account. And if there are to be more than him, if there are two against one, meaning if the Isha doesn't contribute and doesn't get involved, it's really two against the original man, they win. They have the upper hand. The Gemara will change that one single fact. That's untrue. If the original aid was a man, we accept his testimony as fact, is treated like as though it's a full-fledged peer of Adam, and nobody can come along and undo that. Right? So the only concern is if the initial aid was not a man, was a woman, who says your husband passed away, and then another peer of women come along and say, no, here he is. Now it's basically two against one. We follow the, you know, the numbers. So that's why Shmuel says, look, if the Isha is involved as well, and she backs up the original Isha, right? If the wife here backs up the original aid, the Isha, so now it's two against two, she's safe. But otherwise, if she stays out of it, it ends up being two that are saying Isser versus that first Isha who's saying Heter. So we're just changing that specific fact. But the whole Pshat and Shmuel and the Halacha still stands. The other pshat would be, if initially it was an eid kosher, a man, in that case, nobody can get in his way. Even if then 100 women come and confront him, they're treated merely like one eid. So it's like as if one eid is confronting that original eid who was given credibility like two. Right? His account was taken at face value, was confirmed as fact, as we said before, and another aid cannot come and confront him. When Shmuel says that there can be trouble unless the wife gets involved and balances out the numbers, is only going to ask your Isha Miikara. The original testimony was offered by an Isha. And then another pair of women came along to contradict that. Then we're concerned about numbers. So if this wife's involved, she backs up the original Isha, you have two against two, otherwise you're in trouble. Let's reinterpret Rav Nechemya's halacha as follows. Rav Nechemya Aymer, kol makim she'mina Torah eid echad. Wherever the Torah believes a single eid, makes that exception, and follows the, you know, unconventional route to believe even one eid, in that case you have to reckon with numbers as well. Halech acha rev deyis, numbers prevail. And therefore, va'asru shtei noshim b'isha achas, the two women against one, they have value. They have the upper hand. It's like kishnei anoshim b'ish echad. It's like two men who are opposing the testimony of a single man, and they have the upper hand. Aval shtei noshim b'ish echad. But if initially there was a man allowing her to marry, and then two women came along and contradicted his account, numbers don't matter, because quality reigns. Fact is, he's an Eidecha Danish, and his testimony was accepted as fact. Kipalgo Palgadam, it's like 50-50, meaning it's an equal equation. In fact, he gets the upper hand, because his Eidus was accepted as fact. We treat it like two Eidim, in which case, you can have 1,000 women opposing that Eidus, and it has no value. So we just changed that little nuance. That if initially it's one aid, it's irrelevant of how many numbers come along and oppose it. But if initially it was an isha, then you have to work with numbers. So bottom line is, Shmuel teaches this interesting halacha. If she was allowed to remarry by way of the aidus of one aid, whether it's a man or a woman, that depends on the two versions. And then, two psuli edus, women, come along and say, look, here's your man, here's your husband. Says Shmuel, well, the alpha depends upon whether this wife is involved in the proceedings. If she stays out of it, she's not involved, she's not contradicting the new edim, then it's two against one and she's in trouble. But if she's involved and she's machisha, so she says, you're not my husband. So now she's backing up the original eight. It's two against two, and she's safe. Okay, so what did we learn today? We started with the Akasha. How can an eight echad be matur and eshes ish? So we have various examples of the eidus of an eight echad. If it's a suffix to begin with, what is this? Is this chelev? Is this shuman? The eight is believed. Rashi says, look, otherwise you wouldn't eat by your friend. Tosfos brings it right from Nida. Of course, the eid echad is believed. On the other hand, when you know something was an established isra, is chazik isura, the eid can't just come and undo that. What about if it's an isra that can just change? Like tevel, hegdish. Well, if it's in his hands to change it, it's biyadeh, of course he's believed. But otherwise, we're not sure. So why then do we allow the eid to be matter the ishes ish? It's his chazik isura. It's not biyadeh. So what's the answer? Because she's expecting severe consequences. If it turns out that they're mistaken, she'll thoroughly investigate. And now that allows us to rely on the aid. Rav tells us that even if husband returns, you should know she's not always in trouble. It depends what happened. If the initial heter came through one aid, then she's in trouble. But otherwise, if there were two aid and matter her, she's okay. Says the more we're speaking, that we don't necessarily recognize this fellow who just showed up, but he brought along two Adam who are testifying on his behalf. This is their husband. And she's, of course, denying it. Says Rav, okay, it depends. If initially it was only one aid who was mad to her, so it's two against one, she's in trouble. But if she had two Adam who allowed her to remarry, and she married one of those Adam, and she is 100% sure that she's in the right, then she can stay married to the second fellow. Did she marry before the Edom came or after the Edom came? That depends on the two versions of the Gemara. We had Rav Ashi, who explained Rav differently. We're not speaking about staying married to husband number two. Rather, can she go back to husband number one? And Rav is telling us, well, depends why she married. If she was allowed to marry through two Edom, then it's not her fault. She's an Oynes, and she can go back to the first husband. Shmuel tells us a halacha as follows. She's only in trouble. She's only teitze if she's not involved. She's not contradicting the husband. But if she's being machish and denying his identity, then she's okay. What's the case we're speaking about? She got a heter to marry through one aid. And now two women are coming and saying otherwise. Look, this is your husband. So if she's involved and backing up the first aid, so it's two against two and she's okay. But otherwise, it's two against one, and she's in trouble. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.